the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Back from when I was still in school, many, many years ago, amen. I'll sing these songs and weep and cry, and sometimes not being able to go to school. I'll miss lectures. Sometimes I'll be in concert award rounds and it'll come upon me. Sometimes I'll cry and then excuse myself. Glory to God. That's as a clinical student now. Hallelujah. I was pulled to God. You know, music is important. Worship, it's important. It's not because music brings down the presence of God, so to say, but it helps us. How many of you know that we live in a distracting world? Do you know that? The world is so distracted, and you may not even know it, unconsciously your mind is distracted from the things of God, from the things of the Spirit. So when we have worship on the wings of music, it helps our hearts. It helps us go beyond the distractions and environments. It helps us go beyond the pressures, the limitations of the mind. Do you understand? The encumbrances of the mind. You went to work, a lot of things happen at work, you went to your business place, you went to school, and then here you are saying, thank you Jesus, and it's as though God is far even when he's near. Why? Consciousness. But you see, when the worship of the wings of music comes, we are lifted beyond the distractions. And sometimes it doesn't happen automatically. You have to culture yourself to yield. You tell yourself, I'm going to worship him now. I'm going to tune my heart to flow with the worship of his majesty. I'm going to turn my mind to focus on his word, on his person, on his grace, on his love, on his ability, on his faithfulness, and on his goodness. If you read the psalm, you hear David talking to his soul all the time. He said, my soul, trust thou in the Lord. He spoke to his soul to trust in God. He spoke to his soul to praise God, to worship God, to give God worship and praise and thanksgiving. He spoke to his soul. That's why I say sometimes it has to be conscious, deliberate. At the beginning you may not feel it, but you see, when there's an intention, your hoping will follow. Amen. That's why you can say, now I'm going to worship God now. And I begin to worship him. And then at the beginning it's like you're singing 1, 2, 3 song, it's still mechanical, and suddenly like heaven is where you are. You have to learn these things as a Christian. You cannot live a dry life. You must know the presence of God. You must be acquainted with His presence and with His power. You must know how to conjure, so to say, that presence in your room. You must know how to do it, because you need it. Meaning you can consciously go from feeling so dry, God feeling so far, and consciously tell yourself in the next 1 hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, I'll be swimming in the tangible presence of God and get it done. You said, is that possible? Yes. That's what I'm sharing with you. Yes. Yes. The problem is not with the presence or the absence of God's presence. It's with our understanding on how to stir ourselves to become aware of that presence. And also on how to raise incense and do certain things that will make His presence manifest. So yes. Yes. And we have to learn it. It's part of our priesthood as believers. Amen. Every Christian is a priest and a king. And there are laws that govern priesthood. There is priestly precision. There are things that priests do to hear spirits talk to them. Are you aware? So there is a precision. They sit there. They are not guessing. So when a man goes to meet the Baba, he knows what to do to hear from the spirits. And they stole it from the kingdom of light. Amen. Meaning we are the real custodians. Who know how to manipulate or how to press buttons in the spirit to get signals from the spirit realm. That is the truth. Every believer is a priest and a king. Don't forget that. And for real, it's not joke. For real, there's a precision in priesthood. Precision. There's a precision. I use that example again. The earthly guys know what to do to hear the spirits talk to them. Greater provisions are available for us. Greater provisions are available. Hallelujah. You know, we're studying the book of Hebrews, and one of the things that we're going to step into so big is priesthood. Priesthood and sacrifices. You see it there. Priesthood and sacrifices. Priesthood and... Let that young man come in. What's he doing outside? Come in for service. Priesthood and sacrifices. You hear him talk about the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and the Melchizedek priesthood, the new priesthood, the order from whence we came. We are, our priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Are you aware? And that order, priestly priesthood and kingship coexist. When he was introduced in Genesis 14, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible called him Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the priest of the Most High. One man, two offices. He was the type of the New Testament believer. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests. We know how to exercise our priesthood, to walk our priesthood, and we know how to sit upon our throne as kings. There was a camp meeting where we took priesthood. Was it last year? No, it was 2016. Priesthood, our priesthood and our kingship. It was 2016. Last year we talked about walking the works of God. Priesthood and kingship, yes. Awesome. Priesthood and kingship. You must understand it. The fulfillment of your divine destiny is impossible without understanding your priestly ministry as a believer. And your kingly ministry. As a priest, you must understand the activity of spirits, the activity of angels, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What do spirits respond to? How can you mobilize spirits for your favor? Somebody say, seriously, yes. A Christian can mobilize spirits, can mobilize spirit beings for his favor. You know what to do to cover angelic reinforcement for your business, academics, career, family. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How was Easter Supernatural Sunday? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a few of you are responding. The rest of you are like, nothing happened. I said, that was Easter Supernatural Sunday. Amen. Were you blessed? Blessed extra. Blessed plus plus. Hallelujah. Or something else. Amen. Or something else. You know, usually the testimonies of such meeting, or such meetings, more come after the meeting than during the meeting. Amen. And it has started already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the anointing on me. Can we worship for 4 minutes? 4 to 5 minutes. Is that okay? You be seated. Pastor Peter, please help me. I want you to release yourself. Let something come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing. There is no one who compares with you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Oh, there is nothing, there is no one who compares to you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you alone. There is nothing. There is no one who compares to you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Oh, I take pleasure. I take pleasure. My God, when I'm in God one more time. Oh Lord, my God.
Oh Lord, my God.
When I in awesome wonder.
When I in awesome wonder.
Come sweet hour.
Go ahead and worship. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kele de bo sosho to kepra. That's it. The sacrifice of praise is... You know, I'm not crazy, amen. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy. You deserve. You deserve the glory. Problem many Christians have, you know, a lot of Christians live mechanically. A lot of Christians live, try to get things done the way unbelievers get things done. Amen. Yes, there are principles that we can share. There are principles that both unbelievers and believers, when they put them to work, they have results. But there are higher levels than that. Hope you know. When you really want to rise, I told you on Sunday, except you're preparing to be average. When you really want to rise in the path of God's plan for your life, in the path of God's destiny for your life, you will have to live above the normal livelihood of the average person. Are you listening? And there are things that God has made available in this kingdom to furnish us unto good works, to furnish us unto greater works. There are things we've been given. One of them is what we're doing. When you are faced with mountains and you have done everything humanly, the things you know to do that you are taught from school, you are taught from business school, you are taught from business seminars, and nothing seems to be working, there has to be something supernatural to it. Is somebody listening to me? There has to be something beyond the scope of human education, beyond the scope of human ideology to do. So when believers don't understand some of these things, there are times you will sit in your room and worship for hours. You will have to learn it. You know, worship is not chorus. It's lessons on chorus before the message. If that's the level you stop, you can't. You are lost. You will let you sit in your room and praise and dance. Do you know there's a warfare dimension to praise? Praise as a weapon. You get engaged in it and suddenly things stop. Someone has nothing to do whether you know how to sing or not. Do you understand? These are provisions in God to give you advantage. Sometimes worship like this serves as spiritual transport system where you are moved in the spirit. You are transported into where your eyes are open to see beyond the visions of men, beyond the natural sight, insights that humans have, that the human systems can provide. Are you listening? By now you know that what you really need for life, you are not taught in school. If you don't know that, I feel sorry for you. What you really need for life, you are not taught in school. The things you really require to be everything you were destined to be, you are not taught in school. You are not taught 90% of the things you require. You are not taught in school. You say, but God told me I'm going to be a doctor. And I'm Listen, what they are teaching you, the standard where God told you that you're going to be a doctor, the requirement, the vision, the standard of operation is beyond what any medical school can teach you. Go and hear God again. When he begins to show you the pictures, the visions, the dimensions he wants you to operate as a doctor for his kingdom, you know that you are not taught in the four walls of the medical school. Are you listening? You say, God, come into the financial sector. The major thing you needed there, they didn't teach you. They didn't teach you. They taught you how to run the Babylonian system. There are two kingdoms and there are two systems. We have the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of darkness. We have the system of God. And we have the system of Babylon, which is the Antichrist system. Are you listening? A man can change kingdom without changing systems. And that is where many Christians are. They have changed kingdom. But because of ignorance or lack of teaching, they have not changed systems. So they have changed kingdom. They've been transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. But they have not changed system. So they are in the kingdom of God, but operating by the systems of Babylon. Operating by the Babylonian, don't be there. So when a Christian argues about tithing, when a Christian doesn't understand the fundamental principles that govern our increase, and he thinks it's savings, investment, and hard work, he has not changed systems. The system of the world functions by demand, supply, buying and selling. The system of God functions by sowing and reaping. By the law, sowing and reaping, built upon the laws of faith, the law of love, and the law of honor. Never forget that. Our system functions by sowing and reaping, founded upon three laws: the law of faith, the law of love, and the law of what? Honor. So don't just change kingdom, change system. The world has their medical and health system. We also have our medical and health system. Do you know? Hear what James wrote. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call his family doctor. Let him look for the closest physician. Hope you know there were physicians in those days. It wasn't because they had a physician. We're told that Luke, the man that followed, that wrote the book of Acts, that followed Paul, he was part of Paul's entourage. He was a doctor. So there were doctors who were part of the body of believers. But hear what James said. He said, is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalm. Is any sick among you, however, let him call for the elders of the church. He said, they will pray with him, anointed with oil. If he has committed anything, to be forgiven him. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord, meaning the Holy Ghost, shall raise him up. We have a system. Many Christians have not completely switched. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed already? So in services like this, when we have impressions and bodies of worship, if all we do, it's just worship and then we'll bless you and go. You are blessed. Do you understand? That understanding, that flexibility, that insight is so important. You know, this is God's church. The Holy Ghost is the boss here. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the boss here. Are you aware? Very important. The Holy Ghost is the boss. If the Holy Ghost is not a boss of a local church, that church is not the church of God. Is a social club, amen, or a shrine where people come to have their needs met. But see, we must subscribe to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We must understand and be sensitive to the leadings of the Spirit. And operate accordingly, even when it offends our prescribed schedule and order. Are you following me? If you've been around for a while, there are services will come and I won't be able to teach. I won't be able to say anything from what I prepared. We'll just worship and then pray, sometimes in partition, sometimes just worship, and sometimes we just pray, and then we go. That is yielding to the leadership of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the boss, knows what everyone seated here needs the most. Are you aware? Sometimes you come to church, it's not scriptural exposition you need. The Holy Ghost knows. He will begin to tell us to worship. Sometimes he will begin to tell us to pray. Sometimes he will tell us to prophesy. Once a pastor loses that sensitivity, he is already gone, except he retraces his step. Do you understand? So you need more coffee to keep the people. More coffee and cookies. Hallelujah. And suya to keep the people. Is somebody listening to me? It's a church of God under the government of heaven. Hallelujah. The few minutes I have, I think it's lifted. I can teach. Amen. All right, Pastor Peter, just maybe stop it completely. Hebrews chapter, where are we? Chapter 2. Amen. I believe we finished chapter 1 last week. Did we talk about angels? We did now. Are they not all ministering spirit? That's the last verse. Is it angels? Are they not all ministering spirit? Sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. So angels are sent to minister for us. As Paul presents his argument, or as the writer of Hebrews, amen, for those that don't believe it's Paul, presents his argument, we see outbursts of revelations here and there. So as there is a call, there's something he's trying to achieve. When you read through, you notice that he has an audience, amen. And he has a case he's presenting. There's something he's trying to achieve. And I explained that to you in the first teaching. Okay, what the writer of Hebrew was trying to achieve. Hallelujah. But in between what he's really trying to say, there are revelations. Insight into the nature and the character of God. Insight into the mind of God. Insight into the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Very important. And it's important to take note. Now, he was just talking about angels relative to Jesus. He was talking about the superiority of Jesus over the angels. Initially, he talked about how he had obtained a more excellent name than they. And then one father talked about how Jesus obtained his name. How many of you remember that? Number one, we said by inheritance. Number two, by conquest. Number three, conferments. Amen. We said, and this is how men obtain great names. People obtain great names either by inheritance or by conquest, or is conferred on them. And reading all through scriptures, we see that Jesus obtained his name the three ways. Glory to God. When you study Philippians 2, reading that way, he said, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name. He said, therefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things and beings in heaven, of things and beings on the earth, of things and beings under the earth. That talks about hell. And every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. He said it. So what's conferred on him. And then in the Hebrews 1, we saw that he said, by inheritance. By inheritance, he has obtained a more excellent name than thee. What is it about name anyway? You know, humans think that name is just for identification. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. When we speak deeply and speak spiritually, name is beyond identification. Name is a symbol of character and authority. Do you understand? Name is a symbol of character. It's an expression of character and authority. So when we talk about name, you are talking about a person's character, a person's destiny. Actually an expression of destiny and authority. So the name of Jesus is a revelation of his destiny. He said he shall be called Yeshua. Yeshua means Savior, for he shall save his people out of their sin. The name that was given to him was an expression of his destiny, a manifestation of his destiny. And that's why we insist that if your name does not have a meaning, change it. Don't have allegiance to anything that's anti-scriptures. No emotional attachments. Do you understand? They say, but the name sounds nice, but it has foolish meaning. Or no meaning. Are you listening? I hear some people's names mean snake. Some frog. Some grass. Somebody listen to me. So, if it doesn't have any meaning, because name is supposed to be a prophecy. Your name is a prophecy. Your name is a prophecy. When you study through the Bible, you will see. When God met Abraham, he gave him a word. He gave him promises, but nothing could change. He met him one day and said, we need to change your name. You will no more be called Abraham. But from today, be called Abraham. Abraham means assumed father. Assumption, my God. Did you hear that? But Abraham means father of many. Oh, is somebody listening to me? So from that day, he gave him a new name, which was a prophecy of his destiny. So what is your name? Everyone, what's your name? My name is Abraham. Oh, when they call you, oh, Abraham, father of many. And he lived it. Glory to God. The same thing with Sarai. The same thing with Sarai. The name was changed to Sarah. Princess. Mother of many also. Connotation. Are you listening? There was a man called Jacob. Jacob meant swindler. Fast guy. Supplanter. But what happened? Bob said that night, he wrestled with a man. When you study Hosea, you see what that wrestling meant. It was supplication. It was prayer. It was supplication. And he held him and says, I will never leave you until you bless me. He now asks, what is your name? Can you see? The blessing came in the change of the name. He said, you no more be called Jacob. He said, for thou art Israel, for as a prince, you have power with God and with man, and you have prevailed. And Israel came forth out of Jacob. A prince of power. That's what Israel means. A prince of power. He lived his name. Glory to God. You obtain a more excellent name than they. The second thing a name connotes is authority. Authority. It's not just an expression of character, but authority. Authority. In the realm of the spirit, a name is a symbol of authority. Even in the physical world. When people come with a sickness, or initially when they say, we'll come in the name of Queen, or King Joseph the Third. They ask for the signet. And once they see the signet, they open the gates. Once they see the seal of authority. And usually the signet carries the name. And is the seal of authority. They open the gates. And do for them what they are asking for. That was what Jesus meant. When he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, but now, use my name. Use my name. That imperial name of Jesus. Use my name. It means use my authority. The angels answer to his name. Do you know even the Holy Spirit answers to the name of Jesus? Holy Spirit is not a name. It's just a description. Oh, did he hear that? Holy Spirit, is it not a description? Holy Spirit. Do you know even you are a Holy Spirit? It's a description. But you see, he answers to the name of Jesus. What did he say? He said, the Father will send another comforter in my name. So the Holy Spirit came in the name of Jesus. So when we say, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, he's answering to the name. He's answering to the name. No, look at what happened on Good Friday. Jiti, Sister Jiti, she's here. Now, I didn't pray for her for short-sightedness. I think you came out for your legs, right? I remember. And she got here. I was testing another brother who was short-sighted. She was sitting there and lifted her eyes and saw that she could read it. And she has been short-sighted all her life. She's here. Now, how did that happen? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. We were not saying, "I be healed." But she was used to it, so she said she didn't bother believing God for it. It was just a part of her. But she saw that she could read it. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Remember the back when I was in school, something remarkable happened. I just moved to a new hostel, amen. And then I was always praying inside and all that. You know, university, I say, one pastor has come to this hostel. And then after a few months, a young man came to me. I will never forget that young man. A young man came to me. He's from Panshin. He came to meet me. He knocked my room and entered. He says, "I have to share this with you. Something happened." He said, "I saw you in my dreams. My mom has been sick. I was on my bed sleeping." Was I the one who appeared in his dream? He said, "I saw you in my dream. My mom had been sick, seriously sick. Physically now, in real life. I saw you in my dream. You held my mom's hand and prayed for her. You ministered healing to her. Then she got healed in the dream. Then I woke up. In some days now, I've been getting calls from home that my mom is getting better. Or rather, I called them and my mom is getting better. At home, just like that. How can you explain it?" The Holy Spirit. Answering to the name of Jesus. Maybe one of these days I was praying in tongues. The Holy Ghost was working. He was praying through me. Is somebody listening? Is somebody here? He was praying through me. He had obtained a more excellent name than they. And then he ended up best by saying, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister. The ministry of angels is real. The ministry of angels is real. That ministry is real. We're partaking in without knowing. But the more we know about it, the more we can expand. Okay, and increase our benefits from what God has made available. We have angels assigned to us. Do you know from the moment a child is born, the child has an angel assigned to him or her until the day he dies? In fact, one of the things that angel is supposed to do is to ensure you collide with the gospel. So you see the angel attempting to lead you to the place where you hear the gospel. Are you listening? He's there. He's there. He may be. Certain things may happen to him, be helpless. You know, angels are in degree of strength. Don't forget that. And there are different kinds of angels. Don't forget that. There are angels that are princes. We call them archangels. Or angelic princes. With different functions. They carry different dimensions of God. Amen. Michael, for example, is an expression of the might of God. Gabriel, for example, is an expression of the insight and revelation of God. That Lucifer, before he fell, was also an expression of God's light. Lucy means light. Hope you know. It was an expression of God's a level of omniscience. He was the Liberian of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. He had beauty that came with his knowledge. Amen. His name was a revelation, okay, of his office. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, let's step into verse 2 now and take a few minutes. Are you enjoying the teaching? All right, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Listen, spiritual things are slippery. Spiritual things are what? They are slippery. That's why you see someone who was a fellowship president from school, now he does not believe in God. He did not give earnest heed to the things he was taught. Are you listening? Or over time, he started listening to some other people until he got completely confused. I was wondering, is there really a God? And started asking stupid questions. Never forget that spiritual things are what? Slippery. So he's telling us to give earnest heed. To give earnest heed means to give exclusive attention to. Exclusive attention to the things which you have heard. The things you have been taught. And we'll go further to see those things which he's talking about. He's talking about so great salvation. He's talking about what Jesus came to do. What does he want us to give earnest heed to? So great salvation. The things that Jesus came to do, that he spoke about, and then those who heard him took it and confirmed it to us. God walking with them with miracles, diverse miracle signs and wonders and distributions of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Take heed to the things which you have heard, the things which you will hear. Is it lest they should sleep? How else can you explain? As all I know, you know, if I say this now, I have to explain some other things, but no problem, I'll take the risk. You know, I knew him in school from far. The church goes to a ministry and all that, from a Christendom and all that. Went to Europe to school and said, "There's no more God." Amen. Amen. As he doesn't think there's God, he's questioning the existence of God. Okay, matter. You think that's normal? That's not normal. That's not normal. I'm talking about someone I know. That's not normal. You know why? One of the reasons was because, number one, he never really experienced God. You must seek to experience God. I'm going to preach a message. This is seeking the Lord. We will do that. Say, seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord until you have experiential knowledge. Where you know to your bones and to your cells that God is real. That Jesus exists. He doesn't just exist, he's living inside of you and you know it. Completely persuaded. Are you listening? Number one, he didn't really experience God. And then, number two, he let certain things slip. Here or there, must have heard something. Number three, you see, avoid the spirit of error. Amen. Avoid the spirit of error. You see, let me tell you, when you are in a place where they are always attacking church fathers, Oyedepo has done this. All those people, they are building empires for themselves. See what Adeboya said. All these people. The real Christians are rising. The real men of God are rising. All those ones are fake people. When you go to such place, you open yourselves up to demons. Did you hear what I said? Demons. Listen. Satan, there are things Satan capitalizes on. One of the things, whenever Satan sees dishonor. Listen, honor is consistent with God. Dishonor is consistent with Satan. Loyalty is consistent with God. Disloyalty is consistent with Satan. Are you listening? Love is consistent with God. Dislike, hatred, fear, you know, those things, they are consistent with Satan. When you read the book of Jude, He talked about the way of Cain, the error of Balaam. I talked about the path of God. Do you understand? And that handled three things. He said, going in the way of Cain, in the error of Balaam, And in the rebellion of Kor, those three things. What is the way of Cain? Going about to slay his brother in envy. He began to know certain things that when he saw that the sacrifice of Abel was accepted, instead of him to learn how those things were done, he became envious. He became hateful. And he began to slay. And listen, the primary way we slay now is words. So when you see people going about slaying their brothers, you know they are in the way of Cain. They are in the way of Cain. Instead of learning how it is done, they tell you that it's not about number. They tried and tried, did not work. Do you understand? They started giving ears to certain teachers. The way of Cain. Going about to slay with the lips. Oh, you are Bible students. Hope you know that people can slay with the lips. Is that their mouth is an open sepulcher? They're pierced with their words. Do you understand? So, slaying in the way of Cain, who slew his brother. He talked about the error of Balaam. That's covetousness. Interest in money. Then he talked about the gainsaying of Kor. That's rebellion. Rebelling against authority. Rebelling against authority. Any teacher, any teaching, any preacher that helps you rebel against authority, God's considered authority, local church authority, parental authority, the gainsaying of call. Are you listening? And the consequences are heavy. Clouds without water, wandering stars. You see, your life will be like a cloud without water. You'll be like a wandering star. No orbit. Are you listening? And these things are true. There are certain people that visited churches and the young people there suddenly became rebellious to local church authority. They believe there is a debt that their pastor is not giving. They are talking to him anyhow. They didn't know they were introduced to a spirit of error. Spirit of error. And you know rebellion first starts in the heart. It's a rebellion first starts in the heart. They give you instruction, you don't keep it. Because you feel what is even happening here, self. You don't keep it. You don't do it. Rebellion first starts in the heart. You think I'm joking. Maybe go to the next verse. Let me show you what follows. He said, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way. He started with woe. Go to the next verse now of that Jude. No, now the same Jude where you were. He said, these are spots in their feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruits withers without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. See causes. So that's why you're wondering, why are some people struggling for so long? And they're looking for scriptures to explain their tragedies. And they call it as dealings, that the days will come, they are still in the cave. They have not agreed that they have gone in the way of Cain, in the gainsaying of Korah. It's actually Korah. He was trying to talk about that. It's Korah and Abiram. Are you listening? Glory to God. Is somebody learning something? You must be in an atmosphere of honor. For you to open your spirit, you must sense love and honor. I've taught you again and again. When you can't sense love, you can't sense honor, there's a problem. Give the earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest they sleep. Go back to Hebrews now. Lest they sleep. Give the earnest heed. Give attention. Why do you come to church every week, midweek? One of the reasons is so that we can be prepared for the coming of the King. Do you understand? is to help us take heed to the things we have heard. There's a reviving. So if the words, verse 2, thank you, Jesus. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now in context, you know he's speaking to the Jews. Which were the words spoken by angels? Talking about the law. The law was given to Moses by the hands of an angel. It's there. God did not write those things. Amen. It was an angel that wrote them. Amen. Next week I'll prove them to you. The law was given by the hand of an angel. I said, those are broken. Just recompense of reward. Next verse, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I want you to understand that you are beginning to understand the arguments. These were Jewish Christians. They had believed in Christ, but they are beginning to, you understand? Kai. Is it like this? Kai. The tradition of our fathers. This thing. Do you understand? They are beginning to dance in between. Some of them are beginning to exalt the Aaronic priesthood. So you have to write these things to them. And if you notice when you talked about when we read further chapter 6, he talked about drawing back. He talked about no more. We'll get into all that. Let me know about that. But you have to understand that he's writing to the Jews. And that's why you see that background. He said, if the word spoken by the mouth of angels receive just recompense for those that obey, how much more shall this one? How shall we escape even neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? So who began to speak it? The Lord. What did he begin to speak? So great salvation. I'm going in chapter 2. So great. The call of the Lord's message was so great salvation. It was so great salvation. Do you understand? Are you seeing that? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? He did end it. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. This is the core of our message. This is the core of our message. It's important we stay with the curriculum for our dispensation. Very important. So great salvation. Confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Next verse. A few minutes left. Next verse. God also bearing the witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and distributions of the Holy Ghost. Gifts, there is merismos. It means distributions. And distributions of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So what was God bearing witness to? So great salvation. What was God bearing witness to? So great salvation. There was a message. Listen to me. There was a message that God gave witness to. There was a message that God confirmed with signs, wonders, diverse miracles. There was a message. So great salvation. There was a message. The message was simple, straightforward, on point. Do you understand? How can you sit in church, everything that I said, you sit in a meeting, everything that I said from the beginning to the end, you don't understand? And I say these are deep things. And if I say even him, he's not even understand what he's saying. Are you here? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. You know, young people like big English. I say deep mysteries. And then they say maybe two or three words that you read on this. I say, yeah, this must be God. You know, when God speaks sometimes, you don't understand. Go and read your Bible very well. God speaks in plain language. Do you understand? God speaks like a mother talking to her children. Plain. Plain. Go and read your Bible. Plain. 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 The message is simple. Don't get it mixed up. Do you understand? Don't get it mixed up. So great salvation. so great salvation. So great salvation. So great salvation. You know, Paul talked about not being deceived because of the simplicity of the gospel. Did you ever read that? Yes, that means there's a simplicity of the gospel. And because of that simplicity, it can lead to deception. We'll say, is this all? Is this all? But you see, the important thing is we preach you with power. Amen. We preach it with demonstrations of the Spirit. We preach it with the ability of God. We preach it with God bearing us witness with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and distributions of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? We are laying foundation for this book of Hebrews. Next verse. So note, if the Bible you are holding is your own, underline so great salvation. Is that okay? If it's somebody else, don't do it. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore he speak. Alright, let us read down, then we'll take it verse by verse. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testify, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Next verse. For thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of your hands. Now, this is the place man is to occupy. A little lower than Elohim, crowned with glory and honor, set above the works of God's hands. You know, on Sunday, I started saying something. Time did not permit me to go in depth. You know, when man fell, he lost his dominion, I told you. And man became afraid of what he was created to control. Man became afraid of animals. He saw the lion and fled. He saw the snake. Till now, some of you are afraid of snakes. Adam, before the fall, named all the animals. Are you aware? Yes, sir. Including them snakes. That's why Eve could stand and talk to the serpents without fear. And the Bible said that serpent he was talking about was one of the cattle. He was on four. Amen. When God cursed him, everything went inside. Lagabagabayadaba. You are joking with God. When he spoke, everything went inside. He said, on your belly you will go. On your belly. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. And do you know that God created the serpent with that subtlety and wisdom? But Satan used it. Satan does not create anything. He just looks. And by will, he just uses. Glory to God. Man became a slave of the things. And listen, that is why after the resurrection, even before Jesus came, when God was talking to Noah, he gave him back the dominion. He said, I put the fear of you in the beasts of the field. So we have restored dominion. Can I get an amen? What you have to do now is to train your mind. You fear nothing. Fear nothing. Even in your dream, fear nothing. If the dream is not favoring you, there has to be part two. Amen. You sleep back. You sleep back and dream it again. Are you listening? And go and be in charge. Glory to God. You tell yourself, I have to be in charge in this dream. After I've done it before. It has just happened to you. I've got to say, a lie. It's not possible. This cannot happen. It cannot happen. I always will. Big lie. This cannot happen. That's not me. Glory to God. A man of God said, you are dreaming. You are in a car. Suddenly you saw yourself in a bicycle. With a bicycle. When you wake up, don't be afraid. Say, Satan, the car is mine. The bicycle is yours. That's authority. I promised I was going to teach on dreams and all that. Amen. Say, Satan, the car is mine. The bicycle is yours. And then rest. Amen. Don't let dreams control your life. Never in your life. Anybody who comes to meet you and say, you are my wife. And you say, why? You say, I had a dream. His door is closed until further notice. Do you understand? You had a dream. haven't you heard the definition of dream? The mental projection of your digital self. You've been thinking about me. That's why you saw me in your dream. Glory to God. Don't get controlled by dreams. Does God speak through dreams? Yes, but it's not primary. Amen. It's not primary. Hallelujah. He speaks by, has spoken to us by his son. He has in this last day spoken to us by his son. Never forget that teaching. Never in your life forget that teaching. He said, God at sundry time in diverse manner spake unto our fathers. But in this last, spoke unto our father by the prophet. But in these last days has spoken to us by his son. Never forget that teaching. Don't be looking at the diverse manner that God spoke to our fathers for him to speak to you again. In this last day, he told us how he speaks to us. His son. His son, which is the word. Do you understand? His son. Don't be looking at the stars to talk to you. Don't be looking at the moon to talk to you. They say the moon is turning red. So this is going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of the things they have said has come to pass? How many of you followed that last? See. Let me tell you something. When you don't understand the New Testament, you know there are many Christians that are jamming both New and Old Testament. They don't even know it. They don't know it. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. You are trying, you want God to speak to you in the burning bush just like you spoke to Moses. You are ignorant. You want him to speak to you through the star just like you spoke to Abraham. You are ignorant. It says, has in these last days spoken to us by his son. Is there? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. So go and give attention to God's word and nurse the spirit on the inside. Build your spirit. Do you understand? The primary way God is going to lead you is your spirit. Because your spirit and God's word are not subject to manipulations. The moon is subject to manipulation. The stars are subject to manipulation. Do you know? Demons manipulate the moons and how they appear and the sun and the stars. You don't know? Manipulate the rain. You don't know. In your village, they don't make rain for. Hey. Shaba. Hey. Then let me take you somewhere. You see, people just gather like, I make rain fall. What are you telling you? Then you want to use rain to judge God talking to you. Don't be a child. Has in this last day spoken to us by his son. Satan cannot manipulate the word and he can't manipulate the Holy Ghost on your inside. Can I get an amen? This is to help you so that you don't get into error. You don't get into error. You don't get into error. Judging things by the outside. Trying to do outward things. I think was it Jamfa telling me, somebody called me and said, have you seen the way the cloud was today? Have you seen? He said, what is wrong with the cloud? What is wrong? Leave me alone. I said, that's what I've been saying. I'm glad. I said, what's wrong with star? How sun appeared today? What rubbish? That's what I've been saying since. So you are doing prophetic is sun and moon and stars. You are opening the people up to manipulations. Are you listening? Has in this last day spoken to us by his son. By his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Rise to your feet, I'm out of time. Give the Lord praise.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewell, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website, www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.